Okay, good morning. Welcome back to Shmiras HaLashon class learning. We will begin with the Tefillah Al Hadibur, please, in the inside front flap. Okay. Ribono Sha'olam, Yiratzu Fanecha al Rachum Vachanim Shetezekene Haim of Cholyam, Lishmar Piu, Lishani Milashan Har Urechilus, Azar Miladabra, Afilu al Ishiachi, Rakoshakane al Kaiso, O Achelek Mehem, Rakoshakane Lisraim, Amidos of Shakosh Barhu, Azar Miladabra, the Reshakar Chanufa, Machokas Kas, Gaiva, Onas Tvarim, Halbanas Panim, Leitsanus, Vichol Dibur Asr, Vizakanish Lola Dabra, Kim Dabra Hatzarich, Inane Gufi, Vinafshi, Vihiu, Kolma, Sai Vidiburai, Shem Shamai. Amen halavai. We are learning the Lui Nishmaso as always. Tzvi Gershon ben Yoel v'chan alav Hashem z'Hashem Hashav and Aliyah. I thought this is permission as it's chos refuah for bracha v'gai bas rachel geta b'soch sharchal Yisrael. I'm also just going to begin with a very short excerpt from my grandfather's Holocaust memoirs. My grandfather Yitzchak ben Moshe, his yurtzeit is not till Vav Adar. But this coming Shabbos is Parshas B'Shalach, and his first daughter, who was murdered by the Nazis, or so much in the news now about the Holocaust, since it's the 75th anniversary since the liberation of Auschwitz, and since 1945, the end of the war. My grandfather's first daughter was born this week. So I'm just going to quote two paragraphs from his memoirs. I remember well the first of September 1939, a lovely sunny Friday. I got up early. I went out to the street. He lived in Poland, where I met my neighbor of Shmuel Brunner, a clever person. When I greeted him with good morning, he said to me, "It isn't good. From today on, it will get progressively worse." This was September 1, 1939. Hitler has started the war, and we Jews will be the first to suffer. And so it was, the way he had foreseen. Rav Shmuel Brunner died a natural death in our home in 1941. As soon as the Germans arrived in Krasnik, the subjugation and pain of the Jewish population began. Already a few weeks after they took over the city, no one could go pray at the synagogue. This was written in Yiddish, and my mother had it professionally translated into English. If anyone wanted to pray with a minyan, then a few elderly Jews gathered in a private residence to daven. On a certain Shabbos, when I went to lead the service at Reb Peretz Goldberg, Hashem Yikom Damo, a German accosted me. He began to drag me to the marketplace where a large number of Jews were assembled. I was dressed in my silk Shabbos kapata with my talis and chumash under my arm. I realized I should have changed my clothing. When we were driven to the train station, we had to unload coal from the boxcars all day. I was so naive then. And I thought, what are they thinking, the Germans? Today is Shabbos Rosh Chodesh. We have to say halal. Where is he taking us? This was the first time I experienced working for the Germans and also the first beating. But the hell had just begun. I got married at the end of 39, so it was already the war had started in September. My grandfather got married at the end of 1939. In the winter of 1941, marked by the weekly reading of B'Shalach, which is when I always remember his daughter, my wife gave birth to a daughter, 1941, Parshas B'Shalach, to whom we named Devorah, according to the Haftorah of Parshas B'Shalach. However, with each day, the situation became worse and worse until the most appalling day arrived. And then he talks about the liquidation of Krasnik. His wife, his first wife, did not survive. His daughter did not survive. She must have been an infant when she was murdered. But this was the Shabbos when, the week she was born, 1941, named Devorah after the prophetess Devorah in the Haftorah. She was only one child out of 1.5 million, but every person equals an entire world. Tehei zecho barach. So let us open up. Who remembers? We don't remember all of your Rachmana Litzlan victims. Page 158, Perek Yud-Beis. So we are starting a new perek. So over time, we are actually making very nice progress in the Sefer. I hope we're making nice progress in our lives, guarding our tongues as well, not only in the Sefer. Perek Yud-Beis. She'yisponein ha'adam eich lizkos b'rov mitzvos. A person should pay attention, lehitbonein, how he can have the schus to acquire the majority of mitzvos. Od amarti le'orer eize inyan. So he says, I also want to talk to you about becoming aroused or careful or on guard. How does it translate here? To bring your attention to. Another matter. Amru Chazal, the Gemara says, in Maseches Kedushin, Mem on Mud Beis, the olam yira adam olam kulo. The person should always see the entire world as being how chetzio zakai v'chetzio chai. We should look at the whole world as saying the world is half zakai, half pure, half meritorious v'chetzio chai, and half liable. V'gam hu, as it translated here, half meritorious and half culpable. V'gam hu ba'atzmo. You should look at yourself. You shouldn't say I'm a total tzaddik. I shouldn't say I'm a total Rasha. We should say I'm a chasio zakai v'chasio chayv. You know, I'm exactly 50% zakai, worthy, I'm meritorious, and chatzu chayu, 50%, I'm culpable, and I'm owing God for my aveiros, zaka means I'm half mitzvos, and chatzu means I'm half rechmanson the other way. So therefore, if you're exactly half at all minutes, so if you do one mitzvah, what does that mean? You're now the majority?
I'm half.
What?
Half, the majority of.
But if you're half mitzvos and half aveiros, half zakai, half chayv, and I do one mitzvah, so I tip the scale, and now what am I? Am I more righteous or am I more wicked? If I've done one mitzvah, I just went to a 51%. 51% which way? Zakai. So that's exactly what the Chavetz Chaim quotes the Gemara here. Im asa mitzvah achas ashrav. If you do even one mitzvah, now you're 51% what? Zakai. 51% mitzvos ashrav. You're fortunate. He is fortunate. Shehichrias atzmo. That as kol haolam the kaf zchus. You have just tipped yourself to 51% of what? Zchusim. And along with you, the whole rest of the world. V'im asa aveira achas. However, if you do even one aveira, one transgression, so what's going to happen now? You're going to be 49%. Zakai, I'm 51% chayav. Oilo, woe unto you. Shehichria asmo, the chol ha'olam the kaf chova, because you tipped yourself and the entire world to the side of chayav. So I actually just want to quote from the Gemara inside. I went to look up the Gemara. So I'm going. That was a short excerpt from Maseches Kedushin. Gives you the source Mem Amud Beis. So here we go. So the Gemara says Laolam. Okay, Laolam Yira Adam Atzmo. Person should always see himself Kilu Chatzio Chayev VeChatzio Zakai. Half guilty according to the Art School Gemara. Half guilty Chayev VeChatzio Zakai. Half meritorious. So you have a half Schusim. You have half Chova. Ashrav, asa mitzvah achas, if you do one mitzvah. Ashrav, how fortunate is he, shechriya atzmo lekav schus, you tipped yourself towards the side of schusim. However, avar aveira achas, but if you do even one aveira, oilo shechriyas atzmo lekav chova, woe unto that person, he tipped himself to the side of guilt. Shenemar, quoting a pasuk, v'chota echod, one sin, ye'ebad tovar harbe. One sin, this is a pasuk from Kohelas, Perek Tes, one sin, ye'ebad, from loss, tovar harbe. One sin will cause much good to be lost. Bishvil chei yechidi she'achad, for one sin that he did, oved mimenu tovos harbe. You can lose all of those goodness. But if you think of it, how is this possible? So if you think of yourself, I don't think of myself like this, unfortunately, which is why I do things that are not appropriate. But if I really imagine you're walking on a tightrope. Think about this. If you really think of yourself, I'm talking to myself. If I always knew I was walking on a tightrope, and you're balancing, why are you balancing? Because it's 50% this way and 50% that way, so you have a perfect balance. But if you do one misstep on that tightrope, what's going to happen? That's it. You're not going to be balanced anymore. It doesn't matter if it wasn't 10 missteps. All you need is a fraction of an inch to be off, just 1% to be off, and you're still going to fall. Why? Because it's so precipitous. It's not a wide balance beam, and therefore even that one mitzvah will save you, but one aveira will not. Continues the Gemara. Rav Elazar bar Shimon Omer. Rav Elazar, the son of Rav Shimon, says, Lefisha. So that was talking about the individual. Now the Gemara continues and talks about the world. Lefisha ha'olam nidon achar rubo, because the world is judged according to the majority of its inhabitants. V'hayachid nidun achar rubo, and the individual is judged on the basis of the majority of his deeds. So what does it mean, the world is judged on the basis of the majority? Even in Knesset Yisrael, we have a principle of Kol Yisrael Arevim Zabazah. Kol Yisrael Arevim Zabazah. So if Kol Yisrael Arevim Zabazah, there's going to be consequences for the tzaddikim based on the actions of perhaps people who are sinners. Everyone will suffer, chalila v'chas, because we are judged on the majority. The hayachid nidun acharibo, and the individual is judged on the basis of the majority of his deeds. Asa mitzvah achas. Ashrav, you do one mitzvah. Fortunate is he, shechriyas atzmo ve'ez kol ha'olam l'kaf zchus. So now it's even more. Imagine you're on the tightrope, and now the Gemara adds something. It's not just you. You're not just talking about yourself. But if we understand the principle of Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh B'Zeh, that all of Israel are guarantors and interdependent on one another, then you're carrying the whole world. You and the whole Knesset Yisrael, the whole world, are on that tightrope. Now what happens if you tip the scale one way? It's not just you. It's everybody. Afar aveira achas. if he commits a single transgression. Oilo, woe unto him, Shechria as atzmo v'as kol ha'olam l'kaf chova. Woe unto him, he has tipped the balance for himself and the whole world to the side of guilt. So the footnote, Art Scroll footnote, says, since his own spiritual ledger is regarded as equally balanced, good deeds and transgressions, equally balanced. When he performs a single mitzvah, he becomes a tzaddik. Imagine, that's the power of a single mitzvah. It just made you into a tzaddik. Why? Because you were perfectly balanced. Mm-hmm. You weren't tarnished one way, and you weren't so pure the other way. Exactly. So if you do one mitzvah, what are you now? You're a tzaddik. And since the outside world is considered populated by righteous and evil equally, his transformation into a tzaddik inclines the entire world to the side of tzidkus. One mitzvah creates a majority of righteous people. Because the whole world is 50%, because you're 50%, everyone's in the middle. You become a tzaddik, you take the whole world to the side of righteousness along with you. Obviously, the footnote concludes, the reverse applies if one commits a single transgression. Shenemar, as the pasuk said, v'chota echad. One sinner, quoting that pasuk from Kohelis, will forfeit much good. Because of a single sin that this individual committed, ibeid mimenu umikol ha'olam tova harbe. I'm not joking when I say I'm speaking to myself. If we lived with this awareness, the world, I would be a much better person. Because I would really have that profound awareness that a single good morning, that a single act tips myself to the side of righteousness. I'm a son of a tzaddikus. I went from being a totally neutral person to being a righteous person. But on the other hand, I could also take the whole world along with me. So when I was preparing and I learned this piece of Gemara, it reminded me very much of a story in the Henny Malchus biography that relates to this idea, right? Henny Malchus, this is from her Torah teachings. The gray boxes, Allah Hashem, are recordings and her actual Torah teachings. So this is Henny's words. I want to tell you a story. Rabbitson Leah Cook said one time she took it upon herself. By the way, I don't want to know what you think about this, okay? I'm certainly not in this category. I enjoy reading Mishpacha on Shabbos. I'm just telling you a story to illustrate a point. Rabbitson Leah Cook said one time she took it upon herself not to read even kosher newspapers on Shabbos. She wants to concentrate only on a kosher baruch Hu. I'm not commenting on that. That's not the point of this vignette. One Shabbos she was passing the table. There was a kosher newspaper one of her kids was reading. She passed it. She read the headline at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. That's it. After Shabbos, a woman came to her and said, Rabbitson Cook, I'm so broken. I've been shomer Shabbos for 4 years. Today at 4 o'clock, I felt a complete weakness. I smoked a cigarette. Rabbitson Cook said, it wasn't you. It wasn't your fault. Don't feel bad. Do teshuva. Rabbitson Cook felt even this teeny tiny way. Her act affected people who are connected to her neshama. I want to tell you something. When you hold back from doing what you're not supposed to do, whatever it is, you don't only affect yourself, you affect your parents, your children, all the people in the generation connected to you. That's exactly what the Gemara is saying. She's just saying it in plain English without quoting this Gemara. That's what the Gemara is saying. What does it mean? How could I tip the whole world? Because the whole generation is interdependent. Therefore, one action affects your parents, your children, and all the people in the generation connected to you. Says Henny, we are all connected. It's a very scary thing. Yesterday morning, she gives another example, on Shabbos, I got up, there was this big, I don't want your comments, just listen to her point. Yesterday morning I got up, there was a big, juicy, luscious looking piece of cake. It was a mousse cake. I had a feeling I should not eat it. It's not good for me. It was before davening. Even though I'm Hasidish, if I'm very hungry, I can eat, so I could daven. I felt I shouldn't eat it. I heard a loud voice, Henny, don't eat it. It's not good for you. Anyway, at 8 o'clock in the morning, I ate the cake. After that, I felt bad. I was disappointed in myself. I didn't do what I knew was the right thing. When we don't eat cake, we're saying, I want my neshama to be stronger than my body. Why did I succumb to this taiva to eat the cake? That's why I said, I don't want our opinion on the Jewish newspaper and the cake. That's not the point. But I did hispodedus, private contemplation, lavad with God. After Shachos at 11 a.m., I said, listen, Rabbon Shalom, I'm sorry. I fell. Don't be distant from me. I didn't mean it. I'm a human. I fell. I'm sorry. I did teshuva. Today, someone came to my house. He's about teshuva. He's been frum for a while. He told me on Shabbos morning at 8 o'clock, he couldn't overcome his taiva. He texted someone on his phone. So this guy told me all the times he texted on Shabbos, afterwards he would feel like that's it. He would just take off his yarmulke. It would be Mechal Shabbos all day because he texted. But he said yesterday after he texted, he caught himself. At 11 a.m. when Henny was doing his produce, he got up. He went to shul. And he said, Hashem, I know you love me. You know I love you. I don't know what happened. I just lost it, and I texted, and I'm sorry. And the rest of the Shabbos, he kept Shabbos. He learned Torah. He did everything he was supposed to do. Concludes Henny, we're all connected to each other. That's what I want to tell you. So when you want to do what you're not supposed to do, remember you're affecting who knows how many other neshamos. And it's a beautiful, powerful, relevant illustration, real life illustration. Henny Malchus lived in a different realm than we live, but there is this power of tipping yourself and everyone connected to you, i.e. the whole world, either to the side of Chova, God forbid, or to the side of Schusim. Continues the Gemara, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai Omer. I'm still on Kedushin, Amud Daf Mem, Amud Beis. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai Omer, Afilu Tzadik Gomer Kol Yamav. Even if he was, listen to this, a Tzadik Gomer, completely righteous all his days, Umarad Ba'achron, and at the end of his life, he was Morid Ba'machos, he was a, by that I mean Melech Machem Lachem. He was rebelled against God, Ibeid Esarishonos. He lost his earlier good deeds. You'll hear why, don't become alarmed, wait. He's judged as a wicked person, as the Pasuk says. This is a Pasuk from Yechezkel. Tzidkas HaTzadik Lo Tatzilenu B'yom Pisho. The righteousness of a Tzadik will not save him on the day of his transgression. Afilu Rasha Gomer Kol Yamav. However, let's say a person was a Rasha Gomer, a complete Rasha, his entire life. Va'asa Teshuva Ba'achrona, and at the last minute he repented. Ein Maskirun Lo Shum Rishol. They do not mention that he is a Rasha anymore. If a person does Teshuva, we know that Hashem. What do we say in the Yomim Noraim? Ad Yom Moso. God waits for a person to the day of death, and if a person repents at the day of death, Hashem takes him back as if he's a tzaddik. Ein mazkirim lo shum rishos. You don't mention his rishos. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, this is a pasuk from Yechezkel, same place. Virishos harasha, and the wickedness of a rasha lo yikasha. He will not stumble in it. Biyam shuvo mirishos. So a tzaddik will not be helped if he rebels against God at the end of his life. A Rasha, however, who is a Rasha his whole life, if he has the power to overcome and he repents to God, his rishos will not cause him to stumble. So how do we understand it? So the Gemara says, V'neheve kimechza avonos umechza zchuyos. Let him be like an average man whose actions have half transgressions and half meritorious deeds. So the Gemara is saying, I don't understand. If he does one good thing, so he should be like that person who is the Beinoni. He's half meritorious, he's half a chayav, because the sins make him chayav, but the mitzvah makes him zakai. Why is it all or nothing? So the Gemara says, Amar Reish Lakish b'toha al harishonas. This is speaking about a person who regrets his previous deeds. So it's not someone who doesn't have a mistake, or it's not someone who gave in to his yetzer hara in the moment, but he really wants to do teshuva. Or he's a weak person. He tells God, Hashem, I'm sorry, help me next time. This is a person who is like a morid b'malchus on purpose. Something happens, and at the end of his life, instead of being a tzaddik, he leaves God. There are people who, Rachman al-Salam, leave Torah. They leave Yiddishkeit. This isn't a person who, like us, is weak and accidentally sins. We don't condone it, but it happens. And the footnotes here say, his rebellion occurred at the very end of his life. This is a Maharsha. With full knowledge of the master against whom he rebelled, it signals his remorse for his past good deeds. He's not sorry for the aveiros, he's sorry that he was ever a tzaddik. He decides to be a rasha. When a sinner repents his past misdeeds, when a chote, does teshuva, he is regarded as having never sinned. Hashem erases all your veiros if you do true teshuva. Similarly, a righteous man that repents his good deeds is viewed as if he never performed them. A rasha who repents is viewed as if he never did Kata'im. However, a tzaddik who repents, meaning he's sorry he ever did good deeds, is considered to be a Rasha Gomer. So we are responsible not only for ourselves, but for the whole world. What do we need to overcome? I'm going to quote a short piece from Rav Soloveitchik. What kochos do we need to overcome? What kochos do we need to change? To see ourselves as half chayav, half zakai. Remember the tightrope, I'm exactly 50%. I'm in perfect balance. But one aveira, well, throw me to the side, chalila v'chas, of total chova. But one mitzvah, but as Rosh Hashem will throw me to the side of zakai. We said, not only for myself, but for the whole world. If I do a sin at 8 o'clock in the morning, and if I give in to my weakness at 8 o'clock in the morning, it could very well affect somebody else that I don't even know it affects them. It could affect, like Henny said, my family, my children, and anybody I'm connected to. If Salvatrix says, what key ingredient do we need? We're talking here about repenting, hopefully repenting from averos to mitzvos. There are those who repent from their mitzvos to averos. When the righteous man falls, he has the strength to rise again. However, there are those who do not have the strength and courage to stand up once more. They have no courage to rise. One of the main factors that prevent people from making amends and repenting is a lack of faith in who?
Themselves.
I say it's too late. I'm going to add here for a minute. I've been speaking Lashon Hara for 43 years or however long I've been speaking for, since I can remember. But now I'm going to do the Teshuva. Now I'm going to start learning Shmiras Lashon. Now I'm going to start working on myself. Now I'm going to be cognizant of the river that comes out of my mouth. It's too late. They state, I'm not capable of performing such a deed. Not capable of changing my life, changing my identity, changing my whole personality. Says Rav Salvatrix, I remember a certain person, a very tragic person. He attended my shiur in Boston. He was very impressed. I'm not bragging, I'm just telling you the story. He was interested, he was moved by my teachings. I once asked him, tell me, I see that you wish to cling to Yahadus. Why can't you take the final step? Make your home kosher. Afterwards, we'll begin to think about Shabbos. He said, Rabbi, I would like to, but I can't do it. Why not? Rav Salvatrix said, because my family will declare me insane. I will be locked up. In addition, I do not belong in your society. I am far away. I do not belong in your community. I live a different life. I have no courage. I will die a sinner. It takes, that's all of us. Do we have the courage to change later in life, earlier in life, when our patterns of behavior are so firmly entrenched that it becomes very difficult to remake ourselves? And it's something that I have to ask myself, and I have to be willing to take the leap to the side of Chova. Let's look back inside the Sefer, please. Like we said, we're on page 158. So we quoted a little bit from the Gemara, but then we looked at the Gemara inside. Okay? Let me tell you what line I'm on here. One, two, three, four. I'm on the sixth line down. After the period, the fourth word, Vakasav, you see? Vakasav, so we just, he quoted a short excerpt from the Gemara, we just looked at a much lengthier piece. Vakasav b'sefer charedim, it is written in the Sefer Charedim, ma'aseh haya, there was a certain incident, Rabbeinu Yosef b'ketura, Yosef from Ketura, there was a certain story with him. Shachala ad karav lemisa, he was so sick, he was at death's door. Vinim velo tir, hakavana, the translation of that means yashan velo yashin, ne'or velo ne'er. He was sleeping but not really sleeping. He was awake but not really awake. If you look at the English, what it explains is that he was drifting in and out of consciousness. He was very sick. Vira'a shnei anashim, and he saw two men. Shoklim avono sav, so while he's in and out of consciousness, he sees visions from the next world, and he sees two people weighing his avonos, his sins, uzchu yosav, and his chusim, b'mo aznaim. They have weights, and they are weighing his sins and his mitzvos. Ushkulin shava b'shava. They are exactly... what are we saying? Equal. Persons exactly equal. What does that mean? What does he need to do? Yeah. One mitzvah, miyad, so he sees that he's exactly equal. Which way is he going to go? Miyad nisorer, he immediately wakes up. V'nitchazek, he strengthens himself. V'shakal ha'tfilin, what mitzvah did he take? A pair of tefillin. It's a mitzvah in last week's parsha. Parsha's bow. V'sam osam alav, he puts on the tefillin. Umiyad hischil lehei rafei. V'alam mimavas l'chaim. So what happens when he does one mitzvah? So this is an example. We gave the example from the Hani Machlis biography. But the Chavetz Chaim here brings an example from Sefer Charedim, the story about Rabbeinu Yosef Biktura, who realized that at the moment of death, he was exactly half. But he better have one mitzvah to save himself, because if he doesn't have a mitzvah, his life is hanging on the balance, because he's hanging on the balance. How's he going to save himself? He does the mitzvah of tefillin. I just read this. Look at the power of tefillin. I just read this last night.
Wow. That's my shirt.
Yes, it is. Story of Rav Chaim Kanievsky. It was in this past week's Mishpacha. Okay. The American visitor who walked up the famous staircase on Rehov Rashbam was nervous. Accompanied by a teenage boy from his neighborhood back home in America, he wondered what the Gadol would say. The boy had been struggling with Torah observance for some time, in honor of the fact, and it is Bashir, but it's not only as an illustrative story of tefillin, but it's really talking about a person who's struggling between this way and that way. But in honor of the fact that he would be traveling to Eretz Yisrael, and he knew he was going to be meeting with Chaim Kanievsky, this boy started putting on tefillin again. With determination, he had done so for two consecutive months. Although he wasn't yet back to keeping Shabbos, so He was a struggling teenager, but he put on tefillin for 2 months. Would Rav Chaim suggest another Kabbalah to the boy? Would he reference the boy's spiritual struggles? The Askan, who was bringing the young man to Rav Chaim, tried preparing him for the fact that the Gadol might direct him to undertake something else that seemed difficult. The boy was seated at the table. Rav Chaim studied him. He looked at the boy for a few moments and he said, "I hear you're wearing tefillin again. That's wonderful. But I have to insist you commit to a Kabbalah, an undertaking you will guard fiercely." The concerned adult panicked. You might lose the boy. Rav Chaim took the boy's hand and he said, "You must make sure not to wear the tefillin you're working so hard to lay each day on Shabbos. That's forbidden. Promise me you won't wear the tefillin on Shabbos. That's the Kabbalah I want you to take, because one cannot wear tefillin on Shabbos." Rav Chaim laughed, and the boy laughed, perceiving the wise, gentle way the Gadol made the point, and he felt newly inspired on his journey back home, and he understood the godless of the mitzvah of tefillin. So this story from the Sefer Charedim here, Rabbi Yosef Bikatura saw that he was mamash, half chayv and half zakai. And which way should he go? So what should he do? He woke up, and he quickly got the strength. He did the mitzvah of tefillin, v'sam osamav. I don't know if anybody saw, but my husband sent me, I don't know where he saw it online, a screenshot, only Chabad, they're at the Siyam HaShas, they found, you know, like the 15 people amongst 95,000 who hadn't put on tefillin that day. They were at the Super Bowl. It must have been before Shkia, I don't know when it was, but pretty unbelievable. And I don't know if anybody saw, so my husband just forwarded a screenshot. What?
At the Super Bowl.
Yeah, so they were at the Super Bowl, people got there very, very early. Unbelievable. And this is something Chabad has really undertaken. And look at the power of tefillin. V'sam osam alav, this boy put them on. Miyad hitchil lehirafei. He immediately began to heal. So look at the value of one mitzvah. One mitzvah. It's a whole world. It's a whole life. He went up from death to life. Because that one mitzvah tilted him to Saishu. So imagine he sees that they're bringing in all his mitzvahs and they're putting them on one side. This is what we're talking about on Rosh Hashanah. Mm-hmm. And they're bringing all his avirus and they're putting them on another scale. And you don't know where it's going to balance. You're waiting for the scales to weigh themselves out. And by this individual, they weigh themselves out and they're exactly balanced. And that is, the Gemara says, how the whole world should see themselves. So what should you do? Grab a mitzvah. When I read this, it reminded me of a very powerful story from Rav Avraham Yitzchak Cohen Koch, that's all, who I haven't quoted from for a while. I don't know why. Listen to this. A Yemenite Jew, there was a hesitant sounding knock at the door. The door opened, in came a short Yemenite Jew whose side locks and beard were streaked with white hairs. He closed the door behind him and he stood there, his back to the door, his head bent down, as if he was afraid to look at Rav Kook. The Rav lifted his eyes. He looked at the man standing. "Come near, my son," he said. Slowly the man approached Rav Kook's desk. He remained standing. "What is bothering you, my son?" asked the Rav. "Honored Rav," said the guest, "I have come to ask an important question." "Ask, my son, ask," encouraged Rav. Sha'al b'ni sha'al, that's Shabbos, Laman Aleph. The people who make a bet that they'll get Hillel to become angry for 400 zuz, and every time they come to Hillel on Erev Shabbos, he's combing his hair, he's taking a shower, and they say, "I have a very important question," and they say, Sha'al b'ni sha'al. Hillel says, Sha'al b'ni sha'al. Better that Hillel, at the end of the story, should lose, should be bothered Erev Shabbos, and you should lose 400 zuz, and Hillel should not lose his temper. "Okay, ask, my son, ask," said the Rav. "For 25 years, I've been working arduously. Hard. I've been working very hard from morning to night, engaging in all types of manual labor. I've removed weeds from the field, destined to become orchards. I have planted trees. I've removed stones from rocky soil. I've dug holes to construct houses in Eretz Yisrael. I invested the best of my strength in physical labor, but despite it all, I barely make enough money to support my family. My question is, am I permitted to emigrate to America and try my luck there? Maybe I will be able to support my family from America." After the Yemenite Jew finished presenting his case, Rav Kook sat quietly and contemplated. After a few minutes of silence, he rose from his own chair. He pointed and he said to the man, "Sit here." Struck with fear, the visitor stammered, "How can I, a stranger, sit in your honor's throne?" "Sit," ordered Rav Kook. Slowly, the man came. Hesitantly, he sat in the Rav's chair. He was seized by fear and trembling. The moment he sat down, his head dropped to the table and he fell asleep. A short while later, the man awoke shaking. "What happened?" asked Rav Kook. "I had a dream. In my dream, I departed this world. I ascended heavenward. When I reached the gates of heaven, an angel standing at the entrance directed me to the heavenly court. There, before the one who dwells on high, stood the scales of justice. All of a sudden, horse-driven wagons began passing before me, loaded with packages of all sizes. Angels began unloading the packages and placing them on one of the scales. It buckled under the weight. The scale was so heavy it practically touched the ground. "What are those packages?" I said to the angel standing over me. "These, sons of man, are the sins and transgressions you committed during your days on earth. Everything will be brought to justice." I was dismayed. Suddenly, another slew of wagons began to arrive, loaded with heaps of dirt, stones, rocks, and sand. The angels loaded all of these materials on the other scale, which began to descend, almost outweighing the scale of sin. "What are those bundles of dirt?" I asked the angel standing over me. "These are the rocks and stones that your hands toiled to remove the soil of the Holy Land to build houses. They will stand by you and plead on your behalf on account of your share in building up the land." We say in Kapitel 10, I believe, Kof Dalet Kiratsu Avadacha, or maybe Kof Beis Kiratsu Avadacha as Avana as Afar Yechanenu. Redemption will come when your children desire her rocks and her soil. They will stand by you and plead on your behalf on account of your share in building the land. Trembling, I stood and I watched the scale. Which would be heavier, the side of the sins of my packages of Averos or the side of the soil and the dirt of the Holy Land? And behold, the scale of merit got heavier and heavier, slowly but surely descending. As it simultaneously dropped down, it elevated the scale of my Averos. Just then, the scale of merit stopped moving. With just a little more to go, it overtook the scale of guilt. "You see, my son," said Rav Kook gently, "we received an answer to your question from heaven, if you can go to America." And he added no more. Mm-hmm. So, of course, in this case, it's the Schuss of Tefillin. In that case, it's the Schuss of Ahavas Eretz Yisrael and Binyan Eretz Yisrael. In Henny's case, it's the Schuss of Teshuvah and overcoming your taiva, whatever your taiva is. But we have this principle brought down in Chazal, everything Chazal tells is Torah Min HaShemayim, that a person has to always see himself, "It's so hard. I wish I could live like this. I have to strive like this. I have to try to remember it every moment. I'm on a tightrope." You're exactly a Beinoni. You're half Chayv or half Zakai. One action tips you this way and the whole world, or that way and the whole world. V'hine chachameinu zichrono avracha amru, zav b'zchmanam. And behold, the sages, may their memories be for a blessing, second paragraph on page 158, have said this in their time. So he says Chazal said this almost 2,000 years ago, 1,800 years ago. What should we say? The call shekein bizmanenu, what about in our times? Shemitsukos hazman gavru ad lashamayim. The troubles of our times have reached until the heavens. We live in such challenging, difficult, complicated, taiva-filled times. There are things that exist today that literally never existed before. There are taivas that exist today that are so much more accessible to us because we never had to contend with these things before. So what would the Chavetz Chaim say today? That's what he said 100 years ago. Today, our wanton ways and our difficulties and our troubles reach up to the heavens. But call inyan damo tidma me'ein hafugos. Every eye, damo tidma, it makes sense. Every eye is filled with tears. Me'ein hafugos lifnei avinu shabashamayim. Without let up, we can't stop crying before our Father in heaven. V'yadua, and it is known. Shekol hasha'arim nin alu v'sharei dima'os lo nin alu. A person should be crying because you know that all the gates from the time of the Churban, all the gates up to heaven have been closed, but the gate of tears is not closed. Ubivadai, and certainly, yesh lemala kama alfei malachei sharis amelitzim shchus Yisrael. And certainly, there must be up above thousands of heavenly angels who are advocates for shchusim, for knesses Yisrael. We have to have hope. Umisha amar leolam odai, he who said to the world enough, yomar dai the tzara sein, yomar le tzara sein udai. He who said to the world enough, would say to our tzars enough. What does that possibly mean? Does anyone know what this brings to mind from Sefer Bereishis? Does anyone remember? I will tell you in that case. Okay. Chazal say that when Hashem created the world, he had to say Dai. One of the names of Hashem is Shakai, Shin, then Dalet, then Yud. We're coming up to Pesach in 2 months. But as with Hashem, Dayenu means enough. Stop. It would have been enough for us. Hashem, who is the Ein Sof, without end, if he would have kept creating, the world could not exist like that. So when Hashem created the world, he said, enough. Stop creating. The world should stop creating. So, Misha Amar La'olam Odai, he who said to his world, enough, i.e., stop creating, it is enough, Dayinu, would have been enough for us. Hashem said, it's taka enough. Yomar Letzar, Seinu Dai, Hashem should say for our troubles, it is enough. This is very clear. I don't know if the Chafetz Chaim meant to reference it or not, but it's an exact pasuk on Rashi and Sefer Bereishis. When Yaakov Avinu, it's from Perek Mem Gimel, Pasuk Yod Dalet, when Yaakov Avinu is sending his sons down to Egypt for more food, he sends them with lotus. This year I said, kids, lotus. And he sends them with almonds, and he sends them with a little bit of honey. Today lotus has made a comeback, so I can't imagine it's exactly the lotus butter that we have, but whatever plant it came from, that's what he sent down. So he's sending down to, he doesn't know it's Yosef, to the viceroy, more gifts. And he sends them almonds and lotus and a little bit of dvash, a present. And he says to his sons, Vikel, Aleph and Amit, Shakai, Shin and Dal Denyut, Yitein Nacham Rachamim Lefnei Ha'ish, May Kel Shakai grant you mercy before the men, V'shilach Lecham Esachicham Acher, He should release to you other brother, Shimon, V'esk Binyamin, and Binyamin, V'ani, Kasher Shechalti Shechalti, and as for me, as I've been bereaved, I will have been bereaved. But notice he uses the name Shakai to refer to God. Why doesn't he say Hashem should grant you Rachamim, which would seem to make a lot more sense, as Hashem is the Shem Rachamim. So Rashi quotes two interpretations. The second one is the Medrash. Misha Amar La'olam Dai, he who said enough to the world, meaning the world should stop creating, Yomar Dai Letzarusai. So I don't know if the Chavetz Chaim meant to paraphrase this, but the Chavetz Chaim is a Gaon Olam. Doesn't need any of my accolades, and he seems to be paraphrasing this pasuk without directly referencing this pasuk and Rashi. Misha Amar La'olam Dai, he who says enough to the world, Yomar Dai Letzarutzai. Hashem should say enough to my tzaros. That's what the Chavetz Chaim says here, that Hashem in his mercy said enough to the world, should say enough to our troubles. Why, says Yaakov Avinu, Shalo Shakatati Minu Urai. I have not had tranquility, Shakate, I have not had quiet since my youth. Tzaros Lavan, Tzaros Esav, Tzaras Rachel, Tzaras Dina, Tzaras Yosef, Tzaras Shimon, Tzaras Binyamin. I have not had a moment. Ve'eshev Yaakov Be'eretz Megurei Aviv. Yaakov comes back, Perek Lamed Zayin. What does Rashi tell us? He wants to have a little peace and quiet. B'ikesh Yaakov, Le'eshev B'shalva. What does Yaakov say? And so what happens? Kafas Alav Ragzo Shal Yosef. Hashem says it's not enough that you're going to have Shalva in the next world. You want to have tranquility in this world. Also, the trouble of Yosef jumped upon him, came upon him. And Yaakov says that here. He says, I have not had quiet since my youth. I had the trouble of Lavan, the trouble with Esav, who wants to kill him. Lavan is a trickster and switches his wages, switches his wives, oppresses him. Tzaras Esav wants to kill him. Tzaras Rachel. What happened to Rachel? She died in childbirth with Binyamin. Tzaras Dina. What happened with Dina? She was violated by the people of Shechem. Tzaras Yosef. Yosef. Look what happened with Yosef. Tzaras Shimon. He's been in jail for 2 years. I don't know what happened. Tzaras Binyamin. And now I have to send Binyamin. Misha Amar Dai La'olam Yomar Dai La'Tzarosai. He who said the world should stop creating should say enough to my troubles. And the Chavetz Chaim says, Halavai, that we should have that also. Hashem should say, haven't we suffered enough? Kol Masha Yirul Avo Simon Labanim. Say for a Bereishis is the Sefer Simanim. Everything that happened to them happened to us. Yaakov Avinu is saying that my children will not have quiet since their youth. We talk in this terrible galus, have not had quiet since our youth. So what do we need to say? Hashem, Yomar Letzaraseinu Dai. Hashem, isn't it enough? Va'alo ma'od. Okay, let's just finish up here, please. Va'alo ma'od sheka eish hu kemechza al mechza. So it is very possible that at this time, says the Chafetz Chaim, also keep in mind, Rachman Al-Tzan, this is before the great burning of Churban Europa, V'alam Ma'od Sheka'esu, it is very possible that at this time, Ka'esu, Kamechz Al-Mechz, so the world is half and half. Remember what he's talking about, the world being half Chayiv and half Zakai, V'chaseirim Rak Achadim L'Hachriya HaKaf, and it's only missing a few actions to tip it to the side of merit. So if every person would see themselves as that person who could just tip the scales to the side of merit, you could influence and change the whole, never mind yourself, yourself, you could influence and change the whole entire world and the destiny of Knesset Yisrael. Ubivadai nachon ma'od, and it is certainly worthy, nachon ma'od, righteous and worthy, how's it translated by English? Very proper. Shakal achad yitzchazek kayom b'torah v'mitzvos l'achriyakav. That every person shall be mechazek today with Torah and with mitzvos to see that you are responsible for the whole world. You can tip the scales. Remember, we saw the scales, the story of the tefillin, the person was in the dream, Sefer Charedim, and the Chofetz Chaim quotes that story, and he saw that the scales were tipping exactly half. So he quickly woke up, and he grabbed the schus of tefillin, quote of Chaim Kanievsky in the paratefillin. We saw the story from Rav Kook, that the man fell asleep, and he mama saw the scales being loaded with his averus. In his case, what saved him was the schus of Binyan Eretz Yisrael, Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, Va'al Yado Yivasha Kolam, and through you, the whole world can actually be saved. Va'al Zeh Shayach Masha Amir. By this, it is applicable and appropriate what the sages have said in Maseches Avodah Zarah. They don't only say it in Avodah Zarah Yud Amud Beis. They also say it in 17a by Rabbi Elazar ben Durda and Avodah Zarah Yud Ches Aleph, which I wanted to do in Sai, Rabbi Abba Chanina ben Chajam, Baba Ezra Hashem will do it in 2 weeks. Yesh kona olam hum b'sha'ah achas. There is those who can acquire their world in just 1 hour. So halavai, we should be that person to acquire not only our world, but the whole world along with us in 1 hour of good deeds. We'll end quickly. If you have to leave, I understand, but I really just need mamash a minute with a halacha from what is this called? Halacha Day by Artsbach. Okay, the habitual sinner. The prohibition of accepting lashon hara does not apply when the subject is known to regularly engage in the negative behavior under discussion. Let's say this again. The prohibition of accepting lashon hara. You're not allowed to speak lashon hara. You're not allowed to be makabach. Does not apply if the subject is known to regularly engage in the negative behavior under discussion. Thus, if on a number of occasions you personally witnessed an individual commit this particular sin, he would be permitted to believe the person committed the sin again. So if you know that that person commits a certain sin, and then someone tells you that person, I don't know, let's say, I'll use an extreme example, it doesn't apply to anybody at this table. Let's say you know that there's someone who drives on Shabbos. You have, I'm not talking about anyone at this table, so I'm picking something neutral. Well, it's not neutral, but whatever, people have weaknesses. It's difficult. We daven for everybody. We daven for ourselves to be chozer b'tshuva. I'm just using an example. I'm not passing judgment on anybody's nisyonos. A person regularly drives on Shabbos. You've seen it 10 times. When someone says to you, you know who I saw driving on Shabbos? I saw Mr. X driving on Shabbos. You are permitted to believe the person committed the sin. Why? Because you've seen them driving on Shabbos 10 times. The Chofetz Chaim seems to suggest one would even be permitted to believe the person has committed a different sin. So let's say you always see someone driving on Shabbos, and now someone said to you, I saw someone in their house turning on their lights on Shabbos. The Chofetz Chaim says you're permitted to believe they turn on the lights on Shabbos. Why? Because you already know for a fact. It's not hearsay. You didn't read it in the newspaper. It wasn't on WhatsApp. You mamash saw. So you believe. You can. Now, is it so unbelievable that they would turn on the lights? Again, I'm not passing judgment. I have my own problems. I'm using an example. When a person is known to totally disregard Torah and mitzvos, one may certainly accept a report that he has committed any sin. If one, I don't want to even comment on any of this with our own thoughts, because I'm just reading from the Halacha Adei. I cannot say anything further in this regard. If one is known to regularly transgress a particular sin out of temptation, one would be allowed to believe he transgressed it again, but would be required to reject the claim, oh, you cannot believe he did it maliciously. Let's say somebody's weak, and a person, everyone's weak, and a person has a yetzer hara, so he doesn't really want to be morid b'malchus, like in the Gemara at the end of his life. He doesn't want to reject Hashem. He doesn't do teshuvah for his good deeds. He was weak. Mamela says, honey, I was weak. I knew I shouldn't be in the cake. I'm not talking about if that, we consider that a veira now. I'm just saying she felt she gave in to her taiva. I have a lot bigger problems than eating a piece of cake. That should be my biggest problem. But for her, she felt she gave in to a taiva. So you can believe a person transgressed, but you may not believe that they did it out of maliciously, that they actually want to dafka rebel against the Ribbono Shel Olam. So again, this year was L'zecher Nishmasa, my grandfather's first daughter. She was born in the winter of 1941. She was marked, which was marked by the weekly reading of B'Shalach this week. My wife gave birth to a daughter. We named her Devorah according to the Haftorah. However, with each day, the situation became worse and worse. Hashem Yukom Dama, as well as the dam of all of those who were murdered during that difficult time. Mishumer Desiata Deshmaya, to see ourselves as half chayv, half zakeh, and one mitzvah could tip us on the whole entire world to the side of Schuspus.